And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
Martins Beach. It's been in the news quite a lot over the last several years, and that's this week's feature in our Feature of the Week. I am Cindy Menzel, and I am visiting today with David Pasternak, who has been living in Martins Beach for nearly 50 years. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
So, David, Martins Beach has been international news. Why is it always in the news?
Well, I think the origin was when ownership changed in around 2008, and the new owner attempted to impede or prevent public access to the beach itself.
Okay, and he closed off the road.
He did briefly. I mean, the fact of the matter is that there has been almost uninterrupted access even since this acquisition by the new owner.
Okay, so, and again, Martins Beach is about 20 minutes south of Half Moon Bay.
Oh, not even. It's a bit less than 7 miles south.
Okay, and the big controversy was, was the new owner a corporation type of thing? And
It was an owner who acquired Martins Beach in the form of an LLC.
And so, the rumors, which we're trying to clarify today, the rumors were that all of the homes there are on leased property and that he was going to try to bump everybody off, or the corporation was going to bump everybody off, and or actually when the leases were up, they were going to have to move, and then he was going to make some resort or something out of that.
Untrue. Again, people have access to so much information now, it's ceasing to amaze us that there are so many rumors which are untrue. But no, in fact, the tenure of the people who have lived there or people who have vacation homes there has continued.
Okay, and so you can you get down there? And someone was telling me they had to pay to park if you went actually down to Martins Beach.
Well, the situation now for more than 70 years has been that it's been a private beach accessible to the public that is required to pay a toll to come down.
Okay, and how much is it to go down and park?
Well, at this point, there are two options. People can drive down to a point midway between the Coast Highway and the beach, park in a lot there, paying $10 per car, or they can park up on the highway and walk down without a charge.
Okay, and I'm told, and I have to admit, I've never been to Martins Beach, so I'd like to come down sometime, but I'm told that there are very big fancy houses, there's quite a few houses, so for those of us who have never been there, what does Martins Beach actually look like, and the houses and such?
Well, the community itself is not visible from the coastal highway, mm-hmm. but it consists of 30-some cabins, and I say cabins because the average size, I would say, is 1,000, probably less than 1,000 square feet. These are not Malibu mansions.
Really? Are you sure? I've been hearing they're pretty big.
Well, I've lived there for more than 45 years. A little bit more space when we were raising our kids would have been very welcome.
But I bet.
No, the truth of the matter is that they're cabins. They were basically cabins built in the 1940s and 50s.
Oh, they were that old.
Oh, yeah. It's an old community. The land itself was farmed. The area around it was farmed by a family that had the property from the very early 20th century until they sold it in 2008.
Okay. And who had it before, or who did they sell it to?
It was a family by the last name of Deeney. Long-time coastal family, still living in the area, four generations that I know.
Oh, okay. So, and I presume it's a close-knit community down there. Are the houses, what, 2-3 bedrooms when you say cabin, or are they, how big do they range?
Well, again, I mean, there's some which are probably in the range of 400 to 500 square feet, and I don't think there's a single one that would reach 2,000 square feet.
Probably. Oh, so they are pretty small.
Oh, they're very small. Most are in the range of 700, 800 square feet.
Oh, my. Okay. And are most of them right there on the beach, so you have to deal with the wind and the surf and the salt and all the maintenance of it would be kind of challenging?
Well, there are a couple of levels. I mean, there is a row of homes right on the beachfront, and those have had their problems with the ocean and the elements.
Right.
There is another row, which is somewhat higher, outside of the reach of waves. But again, anybody who has lived on the ocean knows that you're subject to a lot of salt, air, and wind and storms.
Want to live there, but boy, the reality is something else. So it was built in about the 1940s. I know there are some other neighborhoods that are a result of, say, the earthquake or something, but I wonder why people came. Do you know anything about the history about why they decided to build that community there?
The Deanys were friends with another family by the last name of Watt, like James Watt.
Okay.
And they reached an agreement to develop it a little bit, I guess, for purposes of having a holiday resort. It was very, very popular from the 1940s on, certainly post-World War II, as a place for people to fish. It was one of the few places that we had or have annual runs of a small fish called smelt. It's a fish that comes to spawn during the season. They also were coming regularly to spawn here on some of the local Half Moon Bay beaches.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from a small resort of sorts. People built small cabins, and that was the progress. And again, the exact dates of construction, I don't recall, but it was probably 1940s, 1950s.
You own your own home, but do you lease the property, or do you own the property that your house is on?
For the most part, the structures themselves are privately owned, but they're all subject to a ground lease. That's right.
Okay. All right. So what is that you've been there for 50 years plus. So tell me about the community. Has it been pretty tight-knit? And we talked about how kids get older and there are as many kids down there. Do you get together? What's it like to live, basically, in Martins Beach?
Well, the demographic has changed an awful lot in the last 40 years, as it has on the coastside generally. It was when I first came to the place as a child with my parents, it was largely Azorean Portuguese, a few Italian, people of Italian background, blue-collar and artists.
Oh, really?
It was much more of a community then. People had that as their vacation home. People didn't primarily live there, but it was vacation home. And it was a very tight community. Not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. Very few people really live there full-time.
So what else can you tell me about the history of Martins Beach? Has there been, I mean, your experience, you've really obviously enjoyed living there. And how did you come about to buy a place and live in Martins Beach?
Well, the short version is that my parents took us as children to many beaches on the San Mateo County coast, and Martins Beach became the favorite, and they became friends with the proprietors, and the proprietors sort of at least indirectly controlled who was able to buy a cabin when one did come up for sale. And that was a rare event, but we were lucky and nabbed one in the early 1960s, late 1950s.
The surfing is supposed to be good down there. So did you surf as a young lad down there?
I started to surf when I was about 12. A lot less comfortable conditions than now. The wetsuits were real poor if we had them at all. We didn't have leashes, and the boards were bigger and heavier. But surfing was never the big deal at Martins Beach. It only became a really popular big deal when there was an effort to close the beach. And then, of course, it became the forbidden fruit, you know, the greener pasture. And now, of course, it's touted as being such a great surf spot. But it's not. It's a mediocre surf spot, which has its good moments.
Okay. Well, and you're right. As I recall, one of the things that started it was that the surfers no longer had access to Martins Beach. So
that's right. And so the Surf Rider Foundation spearheaded the lawsuit, which ensured public access.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to tell us about Martins Beach? We're almost out of time here.
No, nothing. Nothing. If people are curious, they should do their own investigations.
Yeah, you've said they've Google it. And actually, you mentioned that you'd heard news reports internationally. Like, what countries and where else? Why would Martins Beach be so interesting to people in, I don't know, Australia or wherever else?
Well, I think it's because we have limited coastline in the world, and less still, which is desirable. So beach access has been an issue all over the world. I mean, most notably in places that are more developed, like part of the Australian coast in Southern California and Hawaii.
Right.
But I mean, we've had some of the same controversies all the way up to Alaska and throughout the world. So I think that's why it generated a lot of attention.
Okay. Well, for now, it's very calm. People come visit. It's affordable. It's accessible anyway. And if you want to, you're welcome to go down, walk down, or pay a toll to go down and see Martin's Beach. And so that's what we know about Martin's Beach. And thank you, David Pasternak, for coming in and visiting with us today. I'm Cindy Menzel, and this is this week's Feature of the Week.
A little history about Martin's Beach, courtesy of KHNB contributor Cindy Menzel, and our feature story of the week. For Radio Magazine, this is Jim Henderson. If you listen carefully, you can hear the buzz of the KHNB time machine warming up. Cameron Palmer is standing by to transport us to the year 1943. You're listening to Community Radio for the Coastside, 100.9 KHNB Radio.
You've been listening to the KHNB Feature Story of the Week. Know someone who deserves to be recognized in the community? Call us today at 453-4000 or email us news@khmbradio.com.